Hello and welcome to the very first, the inaugural episode of the Soul's Work podcast, the show where we talk about exploring our spiritual journeys and uncovering our authentic selves. I'm your host, Janice Ho, and I am so excited, to be here with you. More on my excitement in a bit, but first, we're going to start off each episode with an intention, and that is to enter this shared space from a place of honesty and to listen to the voice of fear when it arises, but ultimately move past it in order to do our soul's work. Well, I hope your new year is off to an amazing start. I got bronchitis for New Year's. And I've basically been feeling like a horse at the gate, ready to go with all this creative passion and energy. And bronchitis was like, no, let's see how you're doing in the patient's department. So I got to exercise a whole lot of my patience, but I am finally here now pressing the record button. And I'm just so excited to share about my spiritual development journey with you all, and also scared shitless, to be honest, but I'm more excited. I really, really am. And today's episode is really just an introduction to this podcast and to myself, because y'all need to know who you're dealing with. Don't be scared. No, really, don't be scared. Our regular episodes will be a bit different. Each one will focus on a specific topic, and there is just so much that I want to talk about. Everything from spiritual practice to reflection, gratitude, intention to core values, talking about the spiritual ego, energy, honesty, fear, being present, dealing with change, self-care, doing shadow work, which includes discussions about shame, addictions, gender and racial oppression, relationships with money, perfectionism, you know, all that deep stuff. And in each episode, I will almost always, if not always, be bringing in my own personal stories and experiences to the table, as well as drawing upon some incredible thought leaders that have really moved me and impacted me with their wisdom, wisdom that I would love to pass on to you. Okay, y'all ready? Pause and get some coffee if you need to, because I'm going to share with you some of my story and how I started down the spiritual rabbit hole, so to speak, or how I became interested and invested in exploring my own spiritual development. By the way, I still have like post-bronchitis voice, so I don't know if you might be hearing like some raspiness, but I apologize. Bear with me. Okay, so as I mentioned, my name is Janice, and I am a 35-year-old second-generation Korean-Canadian. I'm currently in Vancouver, but I am originally from Toronto, born and raised. Shout out to my Toronto people. Miss you guys. But I do not miss Toronto winter. I know you guys have been in like a deep freeze for the past few days. No, thank you. I hope you guys keep warm. But winter in Vancouver is another beast, I have to say. Like, it's very gray and rainy a lot of the times. And I think I have always had seasonal affective disorder. Very fitting that the acronym for that is SAD. But right now, I have this beautiful candle lit in front of me. I have like the bedroom lights are like half off. And I have this bowl of blueberries next to me, which is, I don't know, giving me some good vibes for some reason. And I'm talking to y'all, so it's all good. Okay, sorry, I'm digressing already. So I actually used to work as a researcher in the criminal justice field, also a little bit in health. I did my master's of criminology, then worked for various academics, nonprofit organizations, government a little bit, doing work in research, evaluation, some policy related work for a total of about 8 years. But before I got into any of that, I lived a very different life. I struggled a lot in many different ways. And I'm just going to like bullet point right now because we don't have time to get into it all. And I'm sure that I'm going to dive deeper into sort of each thing in future podcast episodes. But basically, struggled a lot financially. When I entered high school, my family was on social assistance or welfare, and I moved out of the house as soon as I graduated, and then I had to support myself. And that was all really, really hard. I can't do justice to what that felt like right now in just these few seconds of talking about it. But that was one of the biggest struggles that I had to overcome. And I also struggled with having, I'm pretty sure, what would qualify as mild depression. So not clinical depression where I couldn't get out of bed and that kind of thing, but definitely many, many days of just feeling incredibly sad, crying a lot. I journaled a lot back then, and as I still do now. And I remember just constantly writing things about like how much I hated life, which I know is really sad, really, really sad. But I'm just being honest. That's how I felt. I was also really angry. I think I was dealing very poorly with kind of family situation. There was a lot of conflict at home because I was expressing my anger in that way, which was really awful. And I will definitely be talking about guilt in a future episode. But I was really angry back then. And I think that anger came from a lot of confusion and fear and sadness. I was in that stage of, you know, becoming very social, but not necessarily surrounding myself with all of the right people. And I think I struggled a lot with, you know, certain friends that were not really friends. And definitely when it came to the guy department, oh man, just struggles, y'all. Struggles. I dated a lot of not so great guys. And then eventually got into like a really emotionally and verbally abusive relationship that, you know, by this point, I already had a lot of issues with my mental health. And by the end of that particular relationship, I was like at rock bottom. I felt worthless. I had very low self-esteem and really questioned my own intelligence. It was really bad. And the way that I dealt with all of this was by drinking. Again, I don't think that I would have qualified as having a really severe alcohol problem, but I was definitely dependent on it. And that was something that I also struggled with for many, many years and still have to check myself sometimes because that became a dependency for me. So that was my life. That was my life. And when I look back to that entire period of time, I basically visualized myself standing at the bottom of a really deep black hole. And from where I was standing at the bottom of that hole, I could only see like that glimmer of light at the top of the hole. And I would think to myself, I just have to get up there to ground level where the light is, where everybody else, quote unquote, everybody else is. And really long story short, very, very long story short, I did work really hard to climb up that hole with help from a lot of good people in my life and some therapy too, to climb up towards ground level. And I think of that time as working on my personal development, whether that was developing my communication skills, both in for like work and just networking and just having the confidence to speak with people, but also in terms of communicating my emotions, or working on my physical health and fitness because I was always burnt out, always sick, known as that person who just, just had to look at a person who was sick and I'd be sick. And working on, of course, being in a healthier romantic relationship. And as I mentioned, I went to therapy, which was really, really important for me to work through a lot of deep-rooted issues and to help change a lot of negative thought patterns that had been built up in my mind over all of these years of struggle. And I thought that by working on these things, gaining success in these things, I would ultimately find this peace of mind that I had been just longing for so long. And, you know, gradually things did start to change and I did climb my way out of that hole. And I finally was able to stand outside on ground level with everyone else, air quotes. I worked my way up the career ladder. That master's year had totally changed my life. I really always felt like that was my ticket out. And it did give me the opportunity to really start building experience in my field. And I started off as a research assistant, moved up to being a researcher, a project coordinator, and then finally to management level, which I had never thought I would be capable of doing. But there I was, living in nicer places. I had been moving around constantly and living in some really, really like shitty places because of my lack of financial resources. And even though I technically always had a roof over my head, I very much never felt like I had a real home. And I finally, at some point, was able to move to a place where I just wanted to actually spend time in it and where I felt like it allowed my mind to be more calm. All of those things were really important. Looking back, I needed those things to happen for myself in order to just get out of survival mode, get out of the hole, where it was really hard to see that I had any choices and hard to see anything but that glimmer of light at the top of the hole. Okay, I'm going to try not to get emotional right now. But thinking back to it, it was just such a long, long struggle that when I finally came out of that, I was just so grateful. But I have to be honest, like now that I was experiencing life on the ground, it still felt like something was missing, which was kind of fucked up. And yes, there will be swearing in this podcast, but it was kind of fucked up because I was like, what the hell? I just worked my ass off to get here. And I thought that once I got here, I would be okay, you know? But I didn't feel very inspired in life. I didn't usually get very excited. And I mean that joyful, like wide-eyed excitement, you know, that you get as a kid, perhaps, but that I only ever experienced really when I was out in nature. You guys that know me know I'm like nature girl, right? Like I love backcountry camping. The wilderness is like my sanctuary, and that is the one place where I have felt that true peace of mind, where I do actually feel young again. And I am naturally a passionate person. I want to live my life with passion, but I did not feel a whole lot of passion. Instead, I felt really old. Like, I've always felt 10 years older than I really am, at least. I felt very jaded about the world. And I actually found myself really, really freaking miserable at my second last job, where I had this management position, which is supposed to be like the highlight of my career. But I would find myself sitting at my desk some days with my heart racing, my stomach in knots, you know, feeling just terrible because of all the stress and office politics that was going on and everything that came along with that. And I realized that while I had maybe achieved all of these things that I thought would finally relieve me of the pain and the stress I had gone through for so long, I was now just stressing about other things. You know, for example, other things that I needed to make money to pay for now. I'm sure this probably sounds familiar, to a lot of people. And just to pause in the story for a second, Eckhart Tolle, who is just an incredible spiritual thought leader, he addresses this dilemma that I was going through in one of Oprah's Super Soul sessions, which I'll link to in the show notes. So he said, there is the form identity of you with a personal history and future. And so this particular version of you is the one that experiences things in the world, you know, the one that's trying to get as good a job as you can, improve yourself as a person, all of these things that I had been focusing on, working my way up the hole, right? But then he says, there is the other you. And he describes it as the formless, timeless essence of who you are. So you can think about it as the version of you that is devoid of identity. So for me, the identity as a researcher, me as the youngest daughter, me as a struggling poor person. Rather, he's talking about the true essence of who you are. And I also think about it as your authentic self. And he says that you need to know that as your ultimate self. Because if you only know that first version of yourself, the form identity, then you never really find lasting peace or joy, because those experiences in life that we seek out and we have, they are fleeting. They are changing all the time. So back to the story. It was during that time when I was in the misery-inducing job. By the way, that job was also an incredible learning experience. I actually do have very fond memories of the learnings that I took away from it. And one of the greatest things that happened while I was there was that during this time where I was really miserable, I met a work colleague named Solar. Shout out to Solar, who was the first person to really introduce me to the idea of spirituality. So we were talking in the office. Well, it was more like he was sharing with me some thoughts on spirituality. And I was sitting there like, just looking at him with it all flying over my head. And I remember him like looking at me saying, I know you think I sound crazy right now. I can't remember the exact words that he used, but if you're not super familiar with some of the spiritual terminology or lingo, which I wasn't at the time, it might be like you're experiencing hearing me talk about like the form identity and you must know the timeless essence that is you. And you're like, what the heck are you talking about, Janice? So that's how I felt at the time. But he had faith that I would get it. And he could probably sense that I was in need of getting it. So we had this conversation. I went home and I was a little bit shaken up by it. I was confused, but I was also intrigued. And so I did what anyone in my position would do. I turned to my friend Google for the answers. So I started Google searching spiritual development, which led me to one article, which led me to the next article. And there were some things that I was reading that was really resonating with me. And then a short while later, I've revisited a book that had been given to me years back called A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. And the first time I read that book many years ago, I honestly don't think I got past two pages. Like, I just remember rereading the same paragraph over and over again, not internalizing any of it. And this time when I read it, everything just started to click. And I flew through the book in maybe 2 days because I was ready. I was ready for a spiritual awakening and I was experiencing it right then and there in my living room. It was just that something deep within me, let's just call it my soul, became really still, really present for the first time ever, I think, and really aware of a deeper truth within me. And this was really the thing I had been missing, that even as I was maybe getting more successful career-wise and developing myself to be this more like competent human being in the world, that I hadn't been working on this true, deep inner peace that does not come from gaining more of whatever, it is something that comes from self-love, from becoming still and present, and really knowing and honoring your authentic self. And once I started to get really honest about my authentic self, about who I really was, what I truly valued in life, and so on, I came to the realization that I really needed to make some big changes in my life. And I will get more into what some of those big changes were in the next podcast episode. But one thing for sure was that I needed to leave that job, that I was miserable in. And actually, I ended up getting laid off, which was a blessing, not even in disguise. It was just a blessing because it was as if the universe was just kicking me out of that situation and saying, okay, go make that change you need to right now. You're not waiting another day. And so I had known that not only did I need to leave that job, but I needed to leave my career entirely because I was no longer happy there. Not sure if I ever was truly happy there, but I knew then at that moment that it was really a change I needed to make. And all I really knew for sure was that I just wanted to live more of my life in nature, really. So I also wanted to leave the city because, as I mentioned, that really was my happy place. That was where I truly felt this sense of peace that I had never gotten anywhere else. And so, long story short, I ended up moving to a farm where I lived for 8 months. And I also, at that period of time, started working with a coach, Ivy LeClaire. Shout out to Ivy, love you, to continue working much more intentionally on my spiritual development. Because the thing is, I now knew that self-actualization, aligning my life with my true self, my values, was the most important thing for me to pursue. And it still is right now. That is the most important thing for me in my life. And I have more recently really started to embrace what I feel is my calling as a creative person, which, like, honestly is a really hard and scary thing to do, but I'm doing it. So I'm working on writing my first book, which is really exciting. My first creative passion is actually singing, so I am actively pursuing more of that. Just had my first choir rehearsal yesterday, which was so much fun. Shout out to YVR Pop Choir. So awesome. And this podcast is also a huge part of me expressing my creative self. And I'm still learning every single day. The story continues, my friends. I'm a spiritual student in every sense of the word. I love being a student. I love learning. I am definitely not, and this is so important for me to emphasize, I am not coming at you as some Zen level monk on the mountaintop preaching the truth. As I said earlier, I am just here to share my experiences with you because I've talked to a lot of people in my life and I find that no matter who we are, where we live, how much money we make, what we do for a living, and so on, I hear the same struggles, the same challenges, and the same desires over and over again. But half the time, we have this perception that everybody else is doing so much better than we are, right? Like, oh, their relationship seems so great, or they just haven't made with their career. And it leaves us feeling like we are lacking, that our lives are lacking in comparison. My friends, trust me, all is not as it seems usually. You know, because we all have our issues. We all have our insecurities and relationship problems and our skeletons in the closet and things that we would just love to change about ourselves if given the magic wand. And so I feel that through sharing these things that really at the end of the day make us human, that's when we come to realize that we are all really the same. We are one. We are one, and we develop empathy and compassion for each other, which we need more than ever in this crazy ass world right now, right? And we help each other out through our shared stories and learning so that we do realize that we're all going through the same things. And I know I've learned a lot from hearing about other people's journeys. And for me, this podcast is really about me not only sharing my journey, but sharing my vulnerability, because I think that is something that's really important in a world where we constantly feel like we need to keep our guard up, keep up appearances, and not show that we're scared and flawed and imperfect. So I do hope that, you know, some of my experiences sharing that might be helpful to you. And I'm gonna be sharing a lot of personal experiences, so get ready. Now, two further points, and I want to wrap this up. First, don't panic. Just because you start to maybe explore your own spiritual path, it doesn't necessarily mean that everything in your life has to drastically change. You know, you don't need to quit your job and move to a farm, but you also can if you want to. And you know what? If you come to realize that something needs to change in your life and that happens for you, that's okay. That's probably a good thing. But what I'm saying is everyone's journey is different. You do you. All right. And the last thing that I really want to emphasize, and this is so important, I think this is maybe the most important thing that I've learned thus far, which is that that authentic version of yourself, it is already there right now as we speak. You don't need to fly to the other side of the globe to go chase after it. You don't need to wait for some magical, ideal moment in the future to finally have it materialize. It's already there inside you. It is you. And if you don't see it quite clearly at the moment, it's just because it's a little bit hidden under a few layers. I wrote this blog post, I think a few months ago, called Unveiled. I'll link to it in the show notes. But in this post, I use the analogy of a masterpiece, you know, like a work of art that has been veiled, covered with one of those heavy drapes before it's to be revealed at the grand opening of an exhibit. And I wrote about how the masterpiece is like a metaphor for our authentic selves that has been covered up with probably just not one layer, but with many, many layers of fear, insecurity, shame, anxiety over many years. And you can read the whole blog post, but the point is that just as that drape over the painting is not actually part of the painting, like when you remove the drape, the painting is still completely intact. And if anything, now we finally get to see this beautiful original piece of art that has way more character than a boring ass drape, right? So just like that, when we peel off those layers of fear and security and so on that are not actually an essential part of who we truly are, we don't end up losing any part of us. We just get to shine our beautiful, authentic selves. And one other way of looking at your authentic self being sort of hidden or covered up is that in the book A New Earth, Eckhart Tolle talks about giving up role-playing. So he says every role is a fictitious sense of self. And we all know about these different roles, right, that we take on in order to gain respect or the love of others or in order to feel protected and so on. But as Eckhart Tolle says, why does the ego play roles? Because of one unexamined assumption, one fundamental error, one unconscious thought. That thought is, I am not enough. And it's when we start understanding that we're enough, because we do tap into that authentic part of ourselves, that we can start shedding and giving up that role playing, taking off those masks and our costumes, right? So the question, of course, is how do we peel away those layers in uncovering our true self, our essential being? How do we get to know our authentic selves better and more clearly? Well, stay tuned, because that's what this podcast is all about. But one thing I can tell you is that it does take vulnerability. It takes courage, sometimes a few tears or a lot. Takes self-care, for sure. A supportive coach or friend to go through that journey with you. But it is damn well worth it. So let's get vulnerable. All right, y'all. Join me for episode 2, where we really start to explore our soul's work. I want to thank you all so much for tuning in. Thank you for sharing this space with me with an open mind, an open heart. It means so much. You can keep connected with me and the podcast online at thesoulsworkpodcast.com, where you'll find all the episodes and show notes. You can also join me at janicehocreative.com, where my blog lives. Some of my music is there. And this podcast is also currently on SoundCloud at The Soul's Work Podcast, and we'll eventually get it up on some other channels as well. Follow my Facebook page at Janice Ho Creative, Instagram at Janice Ho Images, and let's see if I get back on Twitter at Janice Ho Tweets. Thanks again, y'all. Lots of love, and see you on the next episode of The Soul's Work Podcast.